We are. Exactly correct. You're probably going to be talking about overcoming in your sleep before I'm done with this. But I'm going to be talking about overcoming. We're in the race. We're in the race of God. He is training us and getting ready His people to take care of this influx of Christians, that you will be mentors, you will be leaders of Bible studies, you will be leaders of home groups, you will be having classes in churches and in your homes and every place you can possibly imagine, because God's getting ready to take His church out. And we must be ready in the meantime to do the work of God. Sadly enough, starting probably before this, but in 1960, the Supreme Court made a decision that there would no longer be prayer in the schools. The Christians said absolutely nothing. And it's gone on since then, and we're now in a situation where we are no longer, according to the president, a religious nation, a Christian nation. And there's probably some truth to that. So if you want to know what God thinks about the whole thing, and I think we should know what He thinks, and you don't have to take this personally if it doesn't fit, but look in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. We're going to see what God thinks about the whole thing. Revelation 3 and verse 14. Revelation 3 and 14 says, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew you or vomit you out of my mouth. Because thou say, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you know not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you." This is what God said to do about the condition of the church today. I'm talking about the church in general. God said, I'm sick of the whole mess. And you know what God does when He says that? He says, I'll start over with somebody else. Are you listening to me? We don't want to be one of those churches. We don't want to be super duper think we're better than everybody else, but I'll tell you this, we want to be ready when called upon to take care of this influx that's going to come into the church. That's the issue. In verse 18, it says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou may be rich in white raiment, that thou may be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness did not appear, and anoint thine eyes with salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Everybody says this is about salvation. It's really about lukewarm Christians. Are you listening to me? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that what? To him that what? Overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. There it is. I will grant the overcomers, not everybody, the overcomers, to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down at my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, we talked about this morning, the place where you're going to sit down with in the throne of God is the kingdom. It's the kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. We're in the race now, but we're going to be in the kingdom. We're going to come back with Jesus Christ at His second coming, and the overcomers are going to rule and reign with Christ. I'm going to explain what that means in a few moments. Look in Romans 8 and verse 18, and we're just going to move along, keep moving. I'm going to keep just giving you the word here, and we'll see what God's going to do in the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Get your Bibles ready. We're going to be looking in the scripture tonight. For I reckon, he says in verse 18 of Romans 8, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When is that? The glory is going to be revealed in the kingdom. You got it? In the kingdom, in the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. Now we're going through the fire. We're going through the difficulties. We're going through all of these things. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestations of the sons of God. Those Christians that have grown up in the Lord, that have taken responsibility in Jesus Christ, that are willing to do the work of God at His beck and call. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So, a lot of things there, but mainly says, let's get through this time. Let's grow up in the Lord. Let's let the fire of God cleanse us, prepare us, fill us with the Holy Spirit to do the work of God, if not now, in the millennium, in the kingdom of God. Most Christians who get to heaven will be seriously disappointed when they get there because they didn't take the responsibility here. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to speak to you, trying to show you what God wants us to do in these days. Now, I'm going to give you another indictment for the church. And here's my famous pastor outer here. Hallelujah. And I want you to look at this. I'm going to get off of this subject, but I just want you to see what the church in general is doing today. I'm not talking about necessarily this church, but I'm talking about churches not preaching the gospel. I'm talking about churches do not preach the whole Bible. Just preach a little section over here. We're talking about churches that are not serious about doing the work of God. I'm going to tell you, I enjoy doing a little jig in the spirit, but I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot more to the Christian life than that. Amen? You need that too, but we need these others. Now, very simply, this is Jesus speaking. You call me eternal, but you do not seek me. You call me fair, but you do not love me. You call me gracious, but you do not trust me. You call me just, but you do not fear me. You call me life, but you do not choose me. You call me light, but you do not see me. You call me Lord, then you do not respect me. You call me master, and you do not obey me. You call me merciful, you do not thank me. You call me mighty, you do not honor me. You call me noble, you do not serve me. You call me rich, and then you do not ask me. You call me Savior, you do not praise me. You call me shepherd, you do not follow me. You call me way, then you do not walk with me. You call me wise, and you do not heed me. You call me the Son of God, and you do not worship me. And when I sentence you, don't blame me, says the Lord. Woo-ho! Is that an indictment on the church? I tell you, I don't want Jesus reading this to me in heaven. Are you listening? And I don't want him reading you to you either. So keep that. Put it in your handout notebook. And you probably didn't know you had one, but get one. And keep all these things, because you're going to be using them down the road when that 1 billion come to the Lord. All right. Most Christians are going to be seriously disappointed for a lot of reasons, and this is no indictment on anybody here, particularly by me anyway. I'm just going to say something. Salvation is not get out of jail free card. That's not what it is. It's to get into the work of God card, if it's anything. And that's what the Lord says. There's too many Christian leaders stumbling on a regular basis these days, constantly. We just had a congressman that had involved in an affair, and he's going to be out of there probably. I mean, the people, that the leaders in this country are supposed to be setting the example. You know, we just vote for people. We don't find anything out about them. We don't investigate them. The early fathers of this country said, if you vote anybody into office and not a Christian, shame on you. Our country won't work if you put people like that in Washington. Are you listening? All these things are happening. Christians are voting for people that are not godly. And it's awful. I don't care what party they are. We shouldn't vote for people that are not Christians and not godly. Period. There's too few examples of those who really walk what they talk. That's the issue. There's a lot of talk, but they're not walking it, you see. And too many compromising Christians today. Oh, I bet you're glad you came already tonight, aren't you? Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're just going to tell it like it is. Now, what we need to do is appreciate that every single day we're to be an overcomer. We're to be claiming the things of God. We're to pursue the inheritance of God. We're to go after it. You just don't sit there. People sit there and just expect the inheritance to fall on them or something. Well, you have to pursue after the excellence in Christ Jesus. It is a work. It is time-consuming. It is a work that we need to do as Christians. You know, salvation is a free gift. But I'll tell you, being an overcomer is a lot of work. Are you listening to me? It really is. And you just can't lazily go along and expect God to bless you in the end. It's not going to happen. Now, it has to be earned. In fact, the rewards in heaven are for works, something you worked, not something you thought about. It's something you worked, the works of God. That's what's going to be. You see, we're in a holy volunteer army of God. It's a volunteer. You have to volunteer after you get saved. You have to volunteer for the army of God. You have to get involved. It's a volunteer army. And God wants us to get involved. We have to know what's required. Look in Ephesians 1:16. Ephesians 1:16. Write these scriptures down. Put this thing in your overcomer notebook. And all of this. Ephesians 1:16. All right, Ephesians 1:16. Cease not to give thanks for you, he says, making mention to you of in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's not talking about your spirit. He's talking about your soul. He's talking about where you live. He's talking about where you live on a daily basis. You want to get what's in your spirit into your soul and the things of God, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glorious, his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I have this written down on a sheet, this prayer, and I recite this out loud before the Lord. I want this in my life, and I ask for it. I pursue it. I'm going after it. Are you listening to me? I'm not retired from the Word of God. I'm not retired from the work of God. I am taking this stuff into my life, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. I like this, far above all principality, power, and might, dominion. Ever name this name, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He's put all things under His feet. So if you're with Christ, they're under your feet. Are you listening? Gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of all, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Look in Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11. Everybody ought to have this underlined in their Bible. You ought to know this. Acts 17:11. Let's start in 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things be so. And that's what I want you to do. Search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Don't believe it because I say it. Believe it's because it's in the Word of God. I just give you the incentive. I give you the verses. Get in it and make them yours. They're mine when I give them out. I want them to be yours, you see. Now, how we live our lives determine our eternal consequences. I want to tell you that again. I'm not talking about going to heaven, not talking about salvation. I'm talking about rewards. I'm talking about the kingdom living here. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to be alive with Christ if we're and rule and reign with Him if we're overcomers. But what we do in this life determines our setting, our station in the next life. You see, there are definitely levels of service in the kingdom. There's levels of service when we're with the Lord. And so we want to be in there. We want to be at the throne of God. Not everybody's going to be there. Some are going to be out away from the throne because they didn't take heed to the scriptures in this life. There's a reason to work, not for salvation, but for sanctification, for getting ready for the kingdom, to be an overcomer. There are three purposes of God in salvation. Now listen to me. Three purposes of God in salvation. You want to get these. Number one, worship and praise Him with thanksgiving. Number one, worship and praise Him with thanksgiving. Number two, to be conformed to the image of Christ and do what He says. To be conformed to the image of Christ and do what He says. I'm telling you why God brought salvation into the world. Worship and praise Him. Be conformed to the image of the Lord. And do what He said. Look in Romans 8:29. I'm going to run through this like a train here. Romans 8:29. You can get there as fast as I do. Maybe faster. Romans 8:29. Now look at this. This is what the Word of God says. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son. Are you being conformed to the image of Christ? You have to have the Word of God in you. You have to be obedient to the Word, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus is the firstborn, and we follow right along. See? Amen. Okay, conform to the image of His Son. Number three, this is important, to rule and reign with Him in the millennial kingdom. To rule and reign with Him in the millennial kingdom and after that for eternity. That's the purposes of salvation. Worship and praise, give God the glory with great thanksgiving. be conformed to the image of Christ in this life and be obedient to Him. If you want to go someplace and have no responsibility, you're in the wrong place. Because, and number three, rule and reign with Him in the millennial kingdom. I don't want anybody sitting here tonight be ashamed when they stand before Jesus. That's the issue. That's it. You see. And so we're learning these things. We got a lot of things to get into in these days to come in the overcomers. Now, what that means, ruling and reigning in the kingdom, means to have position of authority alongside Christ. In other words, He's going to give out positions of authority over one city, over three cities, over five cities, whatever. He's going to give these out, and you're going to be doing that. Now, what about the present life? What about the race? What about the race we're in now? Let me tell you about it. Number one, it's a training ground, preparing for the future. We're in a training ground. We're in the service of God. We're volunteers in God's service. It's a training ground for now and the next life. Secondly, it's a proving ground to prove your salvation before the world and before the throne of God. It's a proving ground. And number three, it's a testing ground by God. He tests us. He proves us for this life and the next life. He's preparing us now for our relationship with Him in the kingdom of God and then for eternity. So this life is designed for us to prepare for the kingdom living. And that's important. Now, how many ever heard of D.L. Moody, Moody Bible Institute? Anybody ever heard of that place? Here's what Moody said. He had a book called The Overcoming Life. Here's what he said. I have an idea that we are down here in training. He says, I have an idea we're down here in training. That's what D.L. Moody said. And that God is polishing us for some higher service. Are you listening? God's polishing us for some higher service. That's what D.L. Moody said. I believe Him, you see, because that's what the Word of God said. Now, I want to talk just about a little bit about this kingdom. I talked about it this morning, but I'm going to talk some more about it. That's what the Jehovah Witnesses talk about all the time. They just don't know how to get there, you see. That's the issue. I had just a beautiful little young girl knock on my door the other night. And we just had a conversation. And I didn't have a lot of time. I had a few minutes. And I talked to her a little bit. And she said, you know, she said, I'm so glad you're talking to me. Most people slam the door in my face. That's what she said. Most people won't talk to me. Well, I said, you're talking about Jesus. I'll talk to you. You know, and she mentioned Jesus and a few things. And I didn't get into all of it. She said she wanted to come back sometime. I said, come on back, because we'll talk about Jesus. And so we're talking about this millennial kingdom. That's not heaven. This is not heaven. As I talked about, if you weren't here this morning, God made a box. It's called the universe. We live in this box. And God's kingdom is compared to this whole room. But we're in this box, you see. And the kingdom of God, is the thousand-year reign of Christ, is going to be in the box. It's not going to be out of the box. It's going to be in the box. And so it's not heaven. It's a physical kingdom on the earth where Jesus Christ will reign in person. He'll have a throne in Jerusalem, and He's going to reign for 1,000 years. And I didn't put down the scripture here, but it talks about it in Revelation. You can look it up. And talks about it quite a little bit. Some people said, I just don't believe it's going to be a millennium. Well, read the Bible. You know, I don't know where they come up with this stuff. It talks about it in Isaiah in the Old Testament. Talks about it in Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Talks about it in the New Testament. There's going to be a time when Jesus Christ is going to come and set this thing straight. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. But anyway, it's going to be in the box. And We will recognize each other. I'm just going to tell you a few things about this kingdom. Nobody really teaches on the kingdom much. I guess they think the Jehovah's Witnesses have a corner on that market. I don't know. But we're going to recognize each other. We're going to have intimacy with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords if we're an overcomer. All right? We're going to rule and reign alongside of Him. Doesn't mean we're God. It means He's going to give us responsibilities in the kingdom of God. And that's going to be a great thing. It's going to be designated by Him, not us. Meaning we're going to hold positions of authority and levels of responsibility entrusted to us by Jesus Christ in the kingdom as we overcome in this life, this age that we're in right now. That's why we need to be overcomers. We may be given responsibility over a country, over a state, over a city, over a town, or maybe a housing development. It depends on how you overcome in this life, you see. But I don't think any of it would be bad, to be honest with you. It's all going to be good. But I'd just soon have as much responsibility as possible, because I'm not worrying about it. God will give you the power to do it, you see. It depends on our faithfulness here now. I don't know why it hasn't been taught on more. People either talk about you have to work to get to heaven, which isn't true, or if you have heaven, you don't have to work. That's not true either. They get it all mixed up. And so we just go by what the Word of God says. Paul said, I work more than everybody because I want the high prize. Hallelujah. That's what he said. And you got just as much chance as he did. He did what he was supposed to do. You do what you're supposed to do. You see, he was supposed to run around and start churches. That may not be your thing. You might be just training your family in the things of God. Whatever God wants you to do, you see. But be prepared, because God will show you somebody to mentor. God will give you somebody to teach what you're learning now. That's why we're learning it. God will give you somebody. If you don't learn it, he won't give you anybody. Just that simple. And so we need to look forward to what God's going to do there. And then Christ is the one who knows the truth, and he's going to decide these responsibilities in the kingdom of God. We must understand that once we're saved, we're still responsible for what we do. Somebody just talk about grace all the time. And hallelujah for the grace of God. But that's not everything. It's grace and works, not to get to heaven, but to get the responsibility in the kingdom of God. That's the issue. Now, what we do the rest of our life is important. I don't care if you got 10 years, 10 days, 10 months, whatever it is. Saving faith is learning to how to be a partaker of the Christian life. God gives it to you. Now start taking it, you see. Be a partaker in it. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you volunteer for the service, how many know they're going to go through some training for a while? Oh, yes. You're going to go through basic training, then advanced training if you have time, and so on. And some of you here know about that. And you just don't get thrown on the front line someplace until you've had some training. So some people that haven't been trained aren't going to be on the front line. They're not going to be where God intended for them to be in the kingdom. That's the issue. Now, what is this saving faith? It is receiving his life, Jesus' life, the new birth, being born again, and then living this out on a daily basis. I mean a daily basis. I like to start every day out, Lord, if you got somebody for me to meet, if you got somebody for me to touch, if you got somebody to meet, pray for, bring it on. I got a schedule here, but there's no problem. We'll work it in, you know. And God, you'll find out God will start doing that. Are you listening? God will start doing it. And that's adding up points in the kingdom, if you want to put it that way. I remember... I used to go to Sunday school. I didn't know the Lord from that wall over there, but I went to Sunday school. My mother had me there every Sunday. If you went every Sunday for a certain amount of time, you got a little pin they put on you. You know, this is way back. It was in the Methodist Church. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Those pins didn't get you to heaven, but I'll tell you, after a Christian, after you become a Christian, those pins are going to get you a good place in the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? That faithfulness is going to count. You don't do anything for Jesus according to His plan that you don't get something for it. Are you listening to me? Now, let's go on here. I'm going to talk about, what is an overcomer? What's that actually mean? What's the name mean? What is an overcomer in the Bible? It talks about it all the time. Revelation chapter 2 and 3. If you're an overcomer, you get this. You're an overcomer, you get this. You're an overcomer, you get that. What's an overcomer? The Greek word means victory over hostile powers. Victory over hostile powers. That's what overcoming means. You overcome the enemy. That's what it means. Of course, we're talking about demonic powers. We're talking about Satan and his workers. We're talking about fleshly Christians that just get in the way of what God wants to do. It means victory over hostile powers, to subdue something or prevail over something. In other words, you're victorious. That's what it means. God wants victorious Christians. All right. You're a conqueror. You're a winner. That's what it means. Christ was the original one. He was a conqueror. He was a winner. He's the true overcomer. And we become overcomers by yielding to Him. We get mentored by God. You say, who's going to teach me? God is going to teach us. Isn't that great? In His Word. And in His prophets and in His evangelists and all these folks, they train the overcomers. Now, we're going to yield to Him. We're going to conquer and subdue. We're going to prevail through this life. We're going to be serving God at the very finish line. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. If you're still out there, say amen. Amen. Acts chapter 20. And verse 24, all right. But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course or the race with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul didn't do anything he wanted to do. He took the ministry that God gave him. And it isn't all preaching and all that kind of thing. There's hundreds of ministries that Christ has for His children. All you have to do is be faithful in the one you're in. Let me start over. Verse 24. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now that's what he said. If you've been watching the news on television, there's riots over there in Iran, and they're saying that these that are rebelling against the government are willing to give their life for the cause. It's very interesting. All we need is a handful of Christians that's willing to give their life for the cause. Are you listening to me? You see, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You die and be with Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a victory. That's a celebration. That's a graduation. That's what we're aiming for. That's the object of the whole thing. We weren't designed to live in this box forever. We got 60, 70, 80, 90 years. That's it. Do what God wants you to do while you're in the box. Yes. Sounds like you want to be an overcomer. I tell you, isn't that a fact? Repeat that again.
Your works have to become outlawed, a relationship with God.
Absolutely.
Instead of a relationship with
right.
God, then you go out and do a bunch of stuff.
There you go.
Make yourself feel better. I think you're going to earn all this stuff in heaven.
How did Paul get his job? They were fasting and meditating on Jesus Christ, and he got called to go out and start churches. That's how it happened. He got it from God. He said, don't get mad at me. I got this thing from God. He kept telling everybody, I got it from God.
You see? From God.
Yes, you do. That's right.
Yes.
Okay. And overcomers, very simply, faithful and obedient. They speak God's word and do it. I like that. They speak God's word and do it. And so they're able to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil because they do the work of God. All right? It's someone that really recognizes they have a choice to make and they choose for God. Okay? Now, I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to take the word of God and you have to speak it out loud and then you do it. You get a word from God, you speak it out loud, and then you do it. That's how this thing works. That's how you walk. You do this on a daily basis. You get a word from God, you speak it out loud, and then you do it. That's the way you do this thing. And you choose to turn around and go God's way instead of yours. Okay? The most amazing character in the Bible named King David. How many ever heard of him? He was a character. He really was. In a lot of ways. How many know he wasn't perfect? You know he wasn't perfect? He made a couple of mistakes. He made some what we'd call doozies. I mean, he made some mistakes that have probably inspired soap operas on television for some time. You know, he really did some things. But you know what it says about him in the New Testament? He was a man after God's own heart. Do you think God condoned what he did? Absolutely not. Everything we do affects people around us. He messed up, had an affair with this woman, and had her husband killed so he wouldn't interfere with the whole thing. I mean, it was like something on 24-hour mysteries or something. And then he went through all that stuff and then for a year he didn't confess his sin and he was a miserable dude. Finally he confessed his sin. The baby that was conceived in this illicit relationship was born and the baby was sick and God said the baby's going to die. There's been a whole lot of babies created, and I'm not talking about physical, a whole lot of so-called spiritual babies that have died because they weren't conceived in the right way in God. Are you listening? What we do affects everything around us. I mean, he and his wife went through, he almost died because of it. So he didn't get away with one little thing. I'll tell you that, and we don't either. But the issue is, he kept getting back in the race. He kept getting back in the race. He kept getting back in the race. And he kept moving in the plan of God. And God blessed him for it. Are you listening to me? And that God didn't condone one wrong thing he did. And he did several of them. It's going to be a whole lot of people ruling and reigning in the kingdom that nobody ever heard of. Are you listening? We always think it's going to be these TV stars on Christian television and all these other folks. They're probably going to be mopping the floor someplace. They're in the kingdom, some of them, if you understand. And somebody you never heard of at all, some housewife nobody ever heard of, is going to be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? We all have an opportunity. We all have a chance to be overcomers. David blew it. But I tell you, God uses real, regular people to do his work that are not perfect, but they're striving to be. They're moving in that direction. They want to be perfect before the Lord. David knew how. You confess your sin and stand before God and said, God, I don't even deserve to to be in the bathroom of the kingdom. I don't deserve it. But God, I confess my sin. Use me for what you can. And God did. And that's the attitude you have to come to God. You turn around from that sin and you keep going God's way. Every time something wrong happens, you turn around and you start moving in the way of God. All right, real quick. Why is an overcomer so important to God? We're going to talk about that tonight. Overcomers are the only ones who's going to inherit the millennial kingdom in the way the Bible talks about. So it's very important to be an overcomer. And as we said, rule and reign with Christ. Look in Revelation 21:7. Revelation 21:7. We just have to keep going to the Scripture, 21:7. We read this morning. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. Not a few things, all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son or daughter in that case. You see, God's not ruling out the ladies. Back in those days, they just always wrote in the male thing here. And he or she shall be my son and daughter, you see. And that's important to understand. Overcomers will have various levels in the kingdom. All Christians are going to enter the kingdom, but not all are going to receive these rewards and responsibilities. I said all Christians are going to enter the kingdom. Keep that in mind. Every single Christian, everyone that knows Christ, will enter the kingdom. Just not everybody will get the inheritance. We're going to see more and more of that as we go along here. Now, everybody's going in. They're going to be with Christ, but not necessarily ruling and reigning with him. They're all going to have eternal life, but they're all not going to have the blessing of God. Okay? John 14:3. Well, if you're getting anything out of this, say amen. All right. I'm just trying to tell you why we're doing this, what we're doing. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Every Christian's going to be with him. You got it? But not all are going to have the same responsibilities and levels. That's it. Some will have very little, and some will have a lot. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. I don't know why we just don't believe the word of God. I'm not a Baptist, and I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm a Babdicostal, I guess, if there is such a thing. Because the Pentecostals, most of them believe you can lose your salvation. I don't believe that's what the Word of God said. You'd have to tear John 3:16 out of your Bible. Give me a break. But on the other side of the coin, I don't believe that everybody's going to rule and reign with Jesus because they're a Christian. The Bible doesn't teach that either. We need the Spirit of God. We need the gifts of God. I am a weird character. Because I believe the whole Bible, not just part of it. You see, and I'm not bragging. I learned the hard way. God had to beat it in my head. We have eternal security. That's one of the things I'm going to teach down the road here, maybe next week. Because you got to get this part right, or you're not going to be able to work for the Lord. You're going to be worrying about you're losing it all the time. Are you listening? Most people, it's like a Christian running around like a squirrel trying to chase its tail all the time just to make sure it's still there. You understand what I'm saying? That's what this, and we don't, God doesn't want people like that. He wants them to know that they know that they know who they know. You see, that's the issue. You got to get that in your head. Got to get that. Jesus didn't die for some of the sin. He died for all of it. You see. Past, present, and future. It was all future when he died. All your sin. So he dies for future sin. That doesn't mean we can do anything we want to. There's a price to pay. We made that clear, I think. Yeah, but the faithful overcomers, the one who are filled, who fulfill the conditions that God has for believers in the race, will inherit in the kingdom. It's just that simple. Now, it's not complicated. Now, there's a whole lot of scriptures on this. We'll just look at a couple of them. Revelation 20 and verse 6. Revelation 20 and verse 6. Thank you for asking. Revelation 20 and verse 6. You got to look at these things. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. That means you're not going to go to hell under any circumstances. The hell is the second death in the Bible. It says second death, that means eternal hell. Christians die once. Lost people die twice. The second death is eternal hell. All right. So the second death has no power. You see, once you're in Christ, hell has no power. You see, but they shall be priests of God, of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There it is again. Shall reign with him again 1,000 years. we're in sad shape if there's no 1,000-year reign of Christ. I'll tell you that, right? Okay, Hebrews 3 and verse 14. I'm not giving you all the scriptures. I'm giving you some of them, but because I want to finish here very shortly. How many are getting excited about being overcomers? I mean, isn't that something? All right, let's just stay with it and get it. That's what God's teaching his people today. The billion people are coming. We got to get on this thing. Hebrews 3:14. And that says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And overcomers and believers are going to hold it to the end. Are you listening to me? That's what it means. Okay, now another interesting little scripture. I hate to put water on the parade, but it also says, if we don't suffer with him, we're not going to be joint heirs with him. That's what the Bible says. You know, Paul said something very interesting. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That means if we follow Jesus, we're going to follow some of the sufferings of Jesus. Doesn't mean we're going to be on the cross, anything like that, but it just means there's going to be some sufferings. There's going to be some rejections. There's going to be some doors slammed. There's going to be some friends leave. There's going to be a lot of things happen, but God's going to give you so many more. When I got saved, started talking about Jesus, man, that my friends, they couldn't get out of there fast enough. I mean, they were burning rubber to get away from my house. But I'm going to tell you, God brought a bunch more, and you're part of it, hallelujah. And I'm blessed, you see. That's the issue. All right. Now, but we have to be faithful if we're going to be rulers. We have to be faithful if we're going to be priests. We're going to have to be faithful with all these things. Matthew 24:45. Matthew 24, I'm almost finished. Matthew 24:25. All right. I hope that's right. Let's see. Yeah, 2445. I said 25. 2445. Here it is. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has made ruler over his household? You see that? To give them food in due season. Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find doing. In other words, being faithful. That's what you said. God, when he comes, he'll find you faithful. God, when he comes in a rapture, you're doing the work of God. And it says, blessed is that person who's doing the work of God when Jesus comes again. Now, we have to walk by the Spirit or we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not going to look up that scripture. We're running out of time. But now, let me give you another. If we don't love Jesus, we're not going to be an heir of God. We're not going to receive that inheritance. Yes.
Can you just very simply, without going into a lab scripture or whatever.
Would I do that?
Just explain Christ comes for us, the
yes.
saved,
yes.
and the rapture.
Yes.
Go up.
Yes, we do.
Then on earth is the 7 years of tribulation.
Correct.
We're up there with him.
Yes, we're out of the box. Yeah, in the box.
We come back for 1,000 years with him.
Yes, we do.
That's where the 1,000 years is. Now, all the people have been killed through almost everybody's been gone, right?
In the tribulation?
Yeah.
About 2/3 of the world's population will die during that 7 years.
But there are some people who will be alive, and then they'll begin to populate, and then we will be with Christ as he's on this earth for 1,000 years.
The believers who are alive will repopulate the earth, not the unbelievers. Okay? I don't have to explain it. You just did. Okay. All right. Anybody didn't get it, stay after. We'll explain it. Not a problem. All right.
It's like seeing after school.
Okay. So we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to be faithful. We have to love Jesus Christ. If we're going to be rulers and reigners, doesn't mean we won't go to heaven. But I don't know. I can't imagine a Christian not loving Jesus. Doesn't compute to me. And it also says in several, a whole bunch of scriptures, if we live an unrighteous life as a Christian, we're not going to inherit. Just not going to inherit that, period. I don't know where these people just think they can go along, do anything they want to. I never teach that, never have taught that, and never will teach that. It doesn't mean you didn't make a mistake. It doesn't mean you didn't mess up. It means that you confess it, you get back in the race, you see. And the sins you confess will never be mentioned. Sins that you confess will never be mentioned in heaven. It's not going to be mentioned. That's how you deal with it. You move on. Now, let me give you this one last word. All born-again believers will enter the kingdom of God, 1,000-year reign of Christ, but only the triumphant, overcoming Christians will rule and reign. So everybody's going to be there, but not all of them are going to be inheritance, get inheritance. Not all of them are going to rule and reign. They're going to inherit heaven eventually, but they're not going to rule and reign in the kingdom of God and therefore rule and reign throughout eternity. Okay? Eternity is when God gets rid of the box and we're all in the kingdom of God, the entire kingdom of God. Okay? No more box. Where does it say that? Well, it says a lot of different ways. Not going to be any sun, any moon, any of that stuff. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So we're going to be in the huge kingdom of God, which is so huge we can't even imagine all of it. And the Bible doesn't talk about it, because if it told you everything you're going to receive, there'd be a mass Christian suicides all over the place, because everybody would want to be there. It's so great. And so he doesn't tell us all. I'm going to tell you this. There's a song that says, "It will be worth it all." It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His sweet face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Bravely run the race until we see Christ. That's what this whole thing's all about. Let's stand before the Lord. Brother Timothy, would you play?